Halfway to joy.
Halfway to joy, yes. Hashem, the question explains Hashem is hidden and revealed. The Torah also is hidden and revealed. We have oral law, we have written law, it's revealed and it's hidden. We have in the Torah the ability to take it in a way that's going to be an elixir of life or a potion of death. The Torah says, Psalm 10. Psalm, it's a psalm. That's how Hashem does things. Sometimes He shines. And then suddenly there's something that seems to be hidden. That's why there's a test, and that's why they give the enables free choice. This is for every person, every time, the community, and each individual. The person who pays attention carefully, he can see everything goes over him. All the things that he's put to rescue from, and different hardships, and then deliverance. Especially money. Parnassah can be very complicated. So, look at Egypt. What happened? Moshe comes to Egypt. Let my people go. What does Paro do? It makes it harder for us. Doesn't even say, Moshe, we'll take it to task. What happened? What is this? Each time, the same thing. Kriyas Yamsuf 2. It goes back and forth. It goes better. It goes worse. It goes this way. It goes that way. 3 days without water afterwards. Then the mud also. No food. No complaining. All the days of Moshe were the same thing. Same with the Shoftim, the Malachim, all these people. We all have. The problem is we're not willing to wait. We're not willing to wait, and we don't have enough faith to understand that things are going to work out. We just need to hold on. Do whatever we possibly are, we can. Whatever possible. Hashem gave him tremendous signs, wonders. Each person's life as well. He remembers when he was in the same situation, the same difficulty, and Hashem took care of him. He says, Hashem, please take care of me now too. Please. Hashem will help him. He has to know. Hashem's going to help. Hashem's going to help. But there's a new sign. There's a test. When you don't see the shining light, you don't understand, you don't feel it. Those who held on and stayed strong despite their test, they got tremendous things. He said the many who fell lost out until we even had the temple destroyed. The business was destroyed for them. Even now also, when there's so much hiddenness, hiddenness inside hiddenness, anyone wants to get close to Hashem in the Torah will also see tremendous shining and great kindness from Hashem. His wonders that He's doing for him. Every person is the same thing. Every person has the same exact situation. Exactly the same. Where on the one hand it seems that there's a challenge, and on the other hand it seems like everything's going to work out. Every person. So that's what you say there. And the second should hold your money. For your miracles are with us every day. At every instant, Hashem is doing miracles for us. Even the distance is measured, it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's from Hashem. You just need to hold on. Hang on. Do our best. But how can I possibly get to a place where I don't give up? Despite the difficulties, how do I hold on? Hashem shines in and shines out this way, that way. So Rustin explains that the practical application, this concept, knowing that Hashem sometimes it shines more, sometimes it shines less, and everything works out in the end. Spiritually, everything's going to be fine, everything's the way it's supposed to be. He says, you need to learn how to borrow happiness. Borrow it from the future. Everything's going to work out in the future. It's all been worked out, and everything's going to be explained. Why was it this way? Why was it that way? Why was it that way? So, in the future time, Dr. Kelman says we're going to realize that all of our pains and tribulations and difficulties were not pains. They were deliverances. They were the way we needed things to be in order to just keep going and to be able to move forward. We think that if we have a test, if I have a test, and this is hard for me, or that's hard for me, I have whatever I may have, whatever challenge I may have, I think that that's something which is a terrible tragedy. But the truth is, that's the best thing that could possibly happen to me. Even though it's very, very difficult for me. It's very hard, it really is. So that's the first thing, to borrow happiness. Borrow happiness. So Ketchum, Nasa, he says, it's so hard for me, and this is difficult, and that's difficult. So Nasa says, so borrow. Take and borrow it. Don't just leave it, borrow. People in the Holocaust had a hard time. Very hard time. At the Holocaust, of readjusting, getting back to living your life. I mean, they felt guilty. They felt guilty. Why did I live? Everybody died and I live. What happened? How come I don't live? What happened here? What happened? So, you know, many people in terrible despair. What do I do? How do I do it? When do I do it? People were very confused. So one person was speaking with a young Belinsky, who was already in Eretz Yisrael, who was a young man, and he felt like, I have nothing to live for. Everyone I knew and loved is gone. What am I going to do? I'll stay and what? Be without family, try to build something totally new, fresh. He has such a large, wonderful family, they were all killed out. So he went to the Chazon Ish. He went to Rav Yaakov Galinsky. Rav Yaakov Galinsky said, let's go to the Chazon Ish, see what he says. So the Chazon Ish said, have you learned? He said, yes, I've learned. He said, so what happens if somebody sends his messenger to buy something for him? And the messenger loses his money. And someone finds it in a pretty public place. Does he get to keep it or not? So he doesn't get to keep it. He said, why not? He said, because it's not the money that's the messenger's money. If the owner left it in a public place, and realize that someone's going to take it. So I'm not going to give his happy return the money because he gave up on it. If there's no sin, there's no way to know how much it was or whatever it is, he gave up. But if a messenger did, the messenger was not in charge of the money. It's not his money to give up on. And the owner of the money didn't know about the problem. So therefore, it doesn't stay mine. I have to return it with the original owners. So the Chazon Ish said, you see, you have a little mistake. You think your life is yours to give up on. You have the right to give up on, but your life is not yours. You were sent here on a mission. Even if it's miserable and difficult, you need to hold on. Hashem will help you. So you need to hold on. You don't have the right to say, well, this is just not worth it. Cost-benefit analysis, it isn't worth it to me, all the pain, all the suffering, all the difficulties, so I'm just going to cut loose. You don't have the ability to say that. You don't have the right to say that. So that's what the Chazon Ish explained. So Rav Yaakov Galinsky, he said that this person, he said, it's okay, he got a little bit of encouragement, and they parted ways. He said, 25 years later, he said, I'm walking down the street in Chabera or something, some guy starts honking furiously at me. What's this guy about? Is he like not normal? Honking. Okay. So finally he called him, Yanko, yes, do you remember me? So finally he reminded him who he was this young man. He said, I've married children, grandchildren, built the whole family. So I wanted to get married. He took me to the Chazon Ish. I don't know what I would have done. I couldn't handle the pain, the pressure, the suffering. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So we need to take strength from that. We need to see there's so many desperate situations where everything worked out in the end. It's so awful where a person says, this I cannot bear. I can't bear this problem. I can't do it. It's too hard for me. It's too much. What am I staying in the world for? What do I have life for? So the answer to those questions is that we don't know why we have life. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what the purpose is exactly. I know I'm supposed to serve Hashem, but what I'm supposed to do, what value each thing I have, I don't really understand. But every single breath even that I take is very, very precious and very, very valuable. Very, very precious and very, very valuable. The minute I realize that deeply, really, truly, everything I do is very, very precious, very valuable. And Hashem is doing what He needs to do. I'm just part of something much greater. I'm just part of the Jewish people's labor to bring Mashiach and to pick up the sparks that are falling. And I have my place. And even by breathing a breath, Even if I'm not doing anything, it's still worthwhile. It's so worthwhile for a person to have life that however many Jews are necessary to violate even Yom Kippur, even Shabbos, whatever it may be, they do so. They do so just to save any Jew's life. That's the power and the preciousness of life. Power and the preciousness of life. So I don't know Hashem's plan. I don't understand. But I'm not the Baal HaBayis. So instead of feeling despair and getting upset, I can say, I'm going to borrow the happiness. It's going to get happy. It's going to get better again. It's going to shine again. I don't have to be in despair in a place that's not a good place. There's one review. One inyan, one way of strengthening myself and finding a pathway to joy when things are hard. To know that sometimes things are easier and they're shining better, and sometimes it's harder. And I have to realize that, you know, I have to borrow from the better times and remember those better times. Because Hashem shines in the Yeshua, the deliverance. Hashem does it. I don't do it. I can't do it. Hashem does it. It's not me, it's Him. He's taking care of me. He's watching me. He's doing everything that has to be done. It's Him. So the minute I realize that, what am I worried about? What possible problem is going to happen? So that's the first thing I wanted to say today. Fascinating. Rabbi Nachman says, never ever give up. He says, even if it says the challenges are totally unmanageable, you just need to hold on and do your best and keep holding on and keep holding on and dabbling and do whatever you can, and Hashem will take care of it. So the Rishon says something very fascinating. He says, sometimes it's in the Shema. Which is very strong. Very, very strong. So this neshama Hashem puts in the hands of the other side, this spark, so that it will fulfill its potential and uplift even the furthest place. So this is the person who knows where he's going, who knows what he's doing, who knows what happened with him. So that's all in order to give the person more schar.
What does that mean?
That's a good question. So that's the thing. We're learning and we're seeing, the more we learn about these yarn, especially the Rebbe here and the Rebbe, like the Rebbe says, if you experience something which is objectively mamish Gehenna, like hell on earth, and you're like, what do I do now? So that is because you have the ability to get through it and pick up tremendously the holiness. So you can do unbelievable things, and that's why they put you in this place. Is you can pick up, you can shine into that place. So there's no reason to have despair when you see something very difficult about yourself or about your upbringing or about whatever it may be. It's because you have a high soul. You know, I always say, people, they feel when you meet someone, you know, there's a story, a friend of mine told me a story. He said he was about Shuva. And, you know, he was, Karl Bach brought him back, whatever it was, and he went into the rest of Shul here, and he had his colorful collar on, and sandals, no socks, and it looked a little strange. So this one old pastor started screaming at him. He said Yiddish. He said, I didn't know Yiddish. But I got the gist of his words, which were, get out. Get out of here. So I got out of there. And I'm crying. I'm going through the kotel. I'm crying. So now I feel like there's a chassid boy who came from the shul following me to the kotel. I got the kotel. I'm crying. Finally, I calmed down. And it was. So this boy was at the kotel with me. And so many years later, this boy asked me, yeah, I became one of the chassid. So he asked me, he said, you remember me? I followed you that night when so-and-so gave you a yelling and shouted you down. Remember? He said, yeah, I remember. He said, you're fine. He said, my father went to him and he said, you cannot distance people like this. He said, today there's going to be a lot of Bar Teshuva coming. He said, they are going to do the biggest tikkunim. You're not allowed to go shouting at them. They're going to expect more of them. And they're going to do the fix what needs to be fixed. So it's the same idea. When you look at somebody, you say, oh, he's a Bar Teshuva. Oh, he's scared. Right? So it's like, you say, well, never, the poor guy, he's limited. The truth is the opposite. The truth is that his soul was able to, he's a commando soul, and he can pick up even darkness. So they put him in darkness, and now he can go out and, you know, break through. That's what the Rebbe says, so don't keep, why are you giving up? He said, because you have a challenge. They're giving you a chance to do what no other soul can do. You can pick up where you're from, what you went through. You just need to hold on. You need to be very strong. You read these words, and they're so strong. It's like unbelievable. And you see this, you say, well, of course never give up. How would you give up? What are you talking about? You have to know that when somebody challenges a soul like that, coming out from the other side, well, they won't even let him out. So you see, Avram, he became from Terach. Terach was a terrible, wicked person. Why? Because the soul is very high, and they figured it's by them, and they're going to keep it. And it broke through. So when you see someone like that falling, or doing something wrong, or making a mistake, he said, it's not even one in a thousand of someone who's just, it's easier for them.
Didn't Terach do something, he conceived with his wife, when she was in Nida?
That's what he says, number one.
Yeah, so he's trying to bring down the negative?
Probably tried. Yeah, it didn't work out that way. Right, that's what re-explains the whole story of throwing Avram in the burning furnace. He said his time, in Terach's time, everyone knew that it was considered a bad idea when it's Nida. I don't know exactly how it worked out. What is it? She's Nida. How could she have conceived? I don't really know. But I don't know the technical science of it. Certainly not. But he wanted things there to be some menstrual bleeding before he had relations with her. He didn't care. He didn't even care. In those times, the people at least knew when it's menstrual bleeding, one doesn't have relations. That we certainly know. And Avram needed to be fixed from the impurity he got from that. So they had to throw him into the furnace.
Was he practicing black magic too?
I have no idea. It sounds possible. I don't know. And that's, by the way, also, Terach got his. Job was the reincarnation of Terach.
Interesting.
That's what that means. He was such a wicked... I mean, it's not only that. That was one thing. He took his own son and said, I believe in idols so strongly that you either retract you're saying that there's one God or die. His only son, when I was only son, one of his sons, what's he doing? What's so bad? Right? The famous incident with the idols, both put them down, put the hammer in the hand, the big one. So I said, what are you talking about? The idol can't do this. He said, why do you worship something that can't do anything? That's heresy. And called the king. Never heard of the king. Okay, he's 5 years old. Or however old he was. 48, or put a 1 point, one way. But whatever it is, you don't just make your old job and give it. He says that don't coincide with your belief, and not only that, but it's not like you have a way of answering. You don't. So what's the problem? So okay, whatever, just forget about it.
It's like the Islamics where they're crucifying and slaughtering and doing whatever.
Chance to protect us. Oh, yeah, never. We're always that way. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. Depends. The truth is that such a neshama has tremendous strength. So when a neshama like that makes a mistake, when he's having a hard time with this, and it's very hard, he has a challenge. He says, it's not the same as somebody regular. I'm a regular guy who didn't have the pain he had, he didn't have the suffering he had. He said, for him, when he messes up, it's only like a thousandth as bad as somebody who's a different kind of, he's a more healthy person, it's easier for him. He's got a stronger soul. He wasn't with the creepers. He wasn't in the evil places. This is not the same at all. It's not the same judgment. That's why you see people slowly getting into doing true or whatever. It's, you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do this. It's all true, but the person needs space and You can't judge another person, especially if someone went through whatever he went through. You can't sit and say, this is bad, this is good. You can trust them. You know the person very well. Maybe they're different ways of encouraging him or connecting him. You cannot just force a person. You can't like try to give him the space he needs to grow, to outgrow it. So this is called, the Rebbe calls this the Gadol Mitzvah, that we also, it's called soiled garments. That means the soiled garments over a person, it's very, very hard for them to overcome them. So that means when I'm, I feel like things are better, right? I have these soiled garments on me. I feel like things are going better. And now I break through, I say, okay, I got one off. So then it seems okay, and suddenly you hit it with another one. All these soiled garments have to do with things a person did in old lifetimes, things a person did in this lifetime, creates other ones. And sometimes just to when his soul's supposed to be dealing with this, some filth that has to pick up sparks from some filth, so it has to be there even if he didn't do anything. That's also possible. He's just thrown in this place and he's got to struggle out, mad struggle out. That's part of the power of tshuva, again, this idea of like picking up even the furthest spark, which is what we're doing now. We're picking up even the most difficult, distant sparks. That's what we're doing. So we read this story, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable language. He says there's a neshama which is great and holy to the ultimate degree, is placed in the hands of the Yetzer Hara. Here. So when you're just, you're first starting out, when you're first beginning to cleanse yourself, what he says, your sins are not the same as someone who doesn't have that impurity on you. Especially, like, what you do, it's not like you voted for it. Whatever it was in your lifetime, maybe, who knows, like, it's not like you voted for it. That's where you're starting out. So it just doesn't have the same weight. He says, not even 1,000. It's like, right, when you first start and get out of the kingdom, so you gotta... The person's soul is so strong, without the barrier on the back, he would have been the best, most holy, wonderful chassid in the world. Really pious, really connected, really everything real. So he has these things holding him back and making it hard. So we have to wait. We have to say, okay, so I have greatness in me, and that's why I have these tremendous barriers. Hold on, wait. I have managed, I have plans, I have things I'm yearning for, not happening, it's not going. Okay. So what? So what? I'm going to do my best, I'm going to make efforts, I'm going to yearn, I'm going to keep yearning. And Hashem's going to bring the delivery, it's going to happen. There's going to be a Yeshua. There's a mess every second, every instance of mess. Every difficulty was going to explain why is it, what is it, what was I doing, what was I supposed to do? So when it's so hard like that, when a person's there's something like dysfunctional there, it's just so difficult, there's a very, very high soul back there. And that very high soul is being chained and held back and shackled. She has to slowly wait until it's able to get out of the shackles. When I'm able to get out of the uncuff those cuffs, right, like Houdini, get out of the safe and swim up, and then watch it. A person can do tremendous things. Change the whole world. Change the whole world. When a shaman like this gets free and really, really, really focuses really on what he's supposed to do. I mean, you look at Chaim Vital and Ari, it's such seminal things, it's so foundational, it's so basic. So every sefer, every Hasidic book, and every ethical work, every single thing, it all has the imprint of Ari. It's all based on Ari, more or less. All these that Chaim Vital wrote, and we said, you're the one who can reveal this Chachma, Kabbalah to the world. Nobody else, not your teachers, not this, the greatest authority, very nice. But your neshama, because of its greatness, even though it was in wherever it was, and now it has to be purified, right, you did this, you did that. But your neshama is still higher and greater and holier than theirs. And it's hard for us, we can't really tell where a person's neshama is. So we say again, when you have someone, it's Gera Baal Tshuva, this person's soul comes from a higher place. He's a stronger soul. That's why he can handle whatever he needs to handle. He's got the ability and the power. And it's the same thing when a person has difficulty, whatever the difficulty may be. He has the ability to overcome that. That just Barry sent his way in order to, shouldn't be, there should be free will. It should be a test. It can't just be a freebie. Free will doesn't mean freebie. Free will means you work for it. So you work for it. You work for it. So you can only free a high soul from the klipas with deceit.
With what?
Deceit.
Deceit.
Deceit. Just like the neshama, like Yehuda and Tamar. Just like Rus also, same similar bechina. Just like Lot and his daughters, all the different bechinas, all to bring down the neshama of Mashiach and David HaMelech. To vary all the different roots, and that's also why David HaMelech had such a hard life, always chasing him, always running after him.
Oh, his daughter and son. The son raped the daughter.
Yes.
And then Avshalom.
Huh?
His son Avshalom, who started taking over the kingdom.
That's right. She says the same thing with Avram. He brings the example you said with Avram. She's right here. It's the same thing with Avram. Shem wanted to take Neshama of Avram out of forces. Therefore, Terach did this terrible action, which his whole culture knew was not acceptable. Their perspective.
What did he do?
He had relations when she was an eagle, specifically. Now, it could be that in general, even if he didn't conceive Avram at that time in that way, since he had relations in that way, it really messed up the children. So Avram was thrown into the Kipshon age, and he brings, that's why Terach came back as eel. Tosi says that by Tamar and Ruth and Rachav also, Yeshua married Rachav. I mean, she was a prostitute. Why did he marry her? He said because that was the high, her high soul was there. That's where his high soul was, and that was the person he had to marry. He said the Chol Neshamos Agerim, all the Neshamos Agerim too, very very high souls, all the Neshamos Agerim. Same idea. The Rebbe puts together Gary and Bali Tshuva. Oh, he said, because I'm such a high soul, and on the one hand I have tremendous efforts to purify myself from the other side, he said, that's why I'm very sad. I have a lot of natural sadness I need to overcome. And it's very, very difficult. He said, because I have a high soul. It's not, we think again, versus depressed. He said, why can't I just be normal? He said, being normal is not going to, it's not an advantage. It's a disadvantage. We need to use our core properly. We need to use our abilities in the proper way. There's no reason to be depressed. Chas v'shalom, whoever a person is, whatever he's going through. Yeah, so he broke tradition and led to idolatrous places. And he was able to bring Avram's soul down. They figured it would be a very defiled place. Here, this guy's diehard idolater. If he tries any funny business of Ramah, have him killed. Hashem took care of it. No, he took the soul out. It's very interesting how these things work. Very, very profound. It's a very profound concept of that the higher you are, the harder it is. So, Nachum says, if you see it's hard, don't feel bad. So okay, thank you Hashem, please help me hold on until it gets easier, until I get through this, overcome this problem. And have the ability to change everything. Everything. Pushing us to change. He said, when you take a nefesh and put in the deepest klipas, the deepest tusks, the other side gives up on it. So listen, just give up. It's part of us now. He said, that was their mistake. I got out. They sent there, sent here, didn't get it. I got out, and they... Goodbye. He said that's also why many, many people, great souls, they come out from people who are pretty ignorant. Maratzi, with the person, he doesn't know much. He's not Maratzi, he doesn't understand much. So, or even wicked people. Wicked, their child is special neshama. So that's again this idea of taking the neshama out, tricking the neshama. So what we need to be focused on the source. When I see that something is very, very difficult, I have to know that the source is that I can do a lot and that's why I'm being held back. The source is that I have more merit. So it's hard for me, I feel more depressed, I'm walking around with despondency, difficulty. So that does not mean that I should be written off spiritually at all. On the contrary, quite the contrary. I need to be very kind and nurturing to myself and wait for Hashem to help me out of my difficulty. I have to wait for Hashem to say, please help me, please. I know I have a great soul, that's why it's so hard. Help me overcome my difficulties and do my task, my mission in the world. Help me fulfill my mission. I'm here in the mission. Okay, so I have a strong soul. How can I use that? What do you want me to do with that mission? Why did you give me this soul? Not to use it.